So as a kid watching children's TV, I feel like you get a super overinflated sense of how much adults are going to need your skills as a detective.
You got a Scooby-Doo.
I'm sure there's it's Paw Patrol. I watch it with my son, and it's just like kids, you know, Ryder is like the staple of the community. And like whenever any adult has any problem, whether it be a mayor or a fisherman, they call this little boy with his pet puppies to come save the day. It just makes me laugh because, like, I remember being on, like, the playground and, like, wanted to be a detective or, like, reading some books where it's, like, there's all these kid detectives or different, you know, shows.
Did you ever read Encyclopedia Brown?
Of course.
Oh, he's so good. He's so much smarter than all the adults, just like I imagined myself to be.
I just think it's funny how, like, you, through different media, especially as a kid, you just don't understand, like, what reality is. And you have a different, like, sense of what has value. Like, I remember our dad was a junior high teacher. And we went in there for, he was, like, planning something, like, towards the end of the summer.
Yeah.
And we were just, like, playing around outside. And we, like, decided to, like, pick up a whole bunch of, like, broken pencils and markers and stuff. And we were knocking on other teachers' windows and trying to sell them school supplies. Like, because we wanted to be little entrepreneurs.
Oh, yeah.
And, like... I haven't asked that about it. Like, I can't tell, like, was he embarrassed that we were doing that? Or, like, is that funny? Is it endearing? Is it
to see kids doing that? I'm trying to imagine that. I feel like as an adult or a dad, that's just kind of cute and fun. And especially when it's people that you trust, like other people you work with, that you're like, oh, yeah. If it was maybe, like, a different type of job with a different type of, like, oh, this really important businessman, like, it's gonna look down on me, like something in a movie or something. But
yeah, I just think it's so funny just thinking back at stories like that where you just think that you're being so smart and clever and you're gonna be so useful to the adults and they're just like, oh, that's cute, kid.
I have another story very similar to that. I during recess I would, like, go around at the in the playground and stuff and, like, pick the tops off of the, like, the grains of the grasses, and I, like, put them in a bag, and I was gonna, like, sell these seeds, these grass seeds. And I think mom and dad realized what I was doing, and they were like, yeah, we're not gonna have you go selling grass seeds to other people. So they, like, gave
me... I remember doing this with you.
And they gave me, like, a quarter and for the big bag of seeds that I had, and they were like, oh, we planted them outside. I was like, oh, cool. And I got a quarter, and I was so excited.
Oh, dear.
Anyways, welcome to IndieQ. We're so glad that you're joining us today. We are jumping into a game called The Forgotten City. Paul, this is a game that you experienced before me. So do you want to explain kind of what the game is to everybody who's listening?
Yes. So The Forgotten City, I think, first and foremost, is a detective-style game. The gameplay is all about just information and knowledge. The game is actually built... Originally as a mod for Skyrim, and then once it was, like, really, you know, it was released separately, you could buy it separately on Steam without, you know, having to mod your Skyrim account, which I think is just kind of an interesting, you know, different modding communities actually building whole games from stuff that they're working in. So I'm gonna try to be as spoiler free as possible while still actually talking about the game.
Big things that we're gonna try to avoid those, but some of the different interactions might come up that are not, that we don't feel are super spoilery.
I think the most important aspect of the game is the game takes place in a time loop. And so you start the beginning of the day over and over again. Nobody that you interact with has any memory of what you interactions with in the past. But you are able to influence stuff that you've learned in previous iterations of your loop to be way more efficient to actually, like, get more stuff done. The theme of it takes place in this, like, Roman city that's this forgotten city. So this Roman culture is there with some Greek influence.
And everybody who lives in the city, they are not able to actually get out of the city. So that's one of the things that you're trying to figure out as the main character. Your goal essentially is to figure out how to get out of this forgotten city. And as you're going along, you're learning the different details of why people can't escape and the different ways that people have tried to escape and different things that are happening in the world, like a detective show. It's like, oh, this person is missing. Okay, you got to figure out. You don't really know where to go or how to figure it out. But as you continue down the path and you start meeting new people, you're going to open up the possibilities to figure out the answers to those types of questions.
I'm curious what your experiences was playing the game for the first time, just because I had a little inkling of what it was about. I'd seen some videos on it saying how it was just a really interesting game along the lines of games I'm typically interested in. Mm-hmm. But you kind of went in more blind. I kind of told you it was a time loop and that was about it.
And I don't even think I had the time loop. You had mentioned the game previously and you probably mentioned the time loop aspect of the game. But when I started it, it was kind of like a blank slate. So it's like, okay, here's one of the games we're going to do. I'm going to like jump into it. And we started playing and I was like, okay, we're going to keep interacting with these different people. And the first maybe 5 or 10 minutes, I was just kind of like, well, I was also a little bit turned off because my computer is not very powerful and it wasn't doing a very good job of running the game. And so I quickly went into the settings and turned the resolution down and made things so they weren't as crisp and maybe nice looking as they might be on a better piece of hardware, but it's Skyrim type stuff. So it's not going to be that big of a deal. And that really drastically improved the performance
of
the game. And it was after the game actually ran correctly, I really started getting into like trying to figure out how to help the people in the town and how do I like bring about, like, it seems like you may be able to bring about change and you might be able to help a lot of different people in different ways. And as you meet different people, different tasks are populated. And I appreciate the way that the game allows you to tackle the different tasks or the different, what would you call it? What's the word I'm looking
for? Quests or...
It's kind of like, yeah, they're just... It's like things that you can do to help the city and you're trying to help out the people who are going around and you don't have to go necessarily do any of those tasks. There are some that are the main quest or whatever that are, in order to escape, you need to be going on these different paths. But there's a bunch of little side quests and side characters, different people who are in the town that you don't necessarily have to interact with. But when you do, you want to like help them and help them figure out the problem that they're dealing with.
And so you said you didn't remember that I'd mentioned the time loop. Was that a surprise to you or how did that interaction go the first time that you experienced it?
I'm trying to remember, like, how it ended up... Oh, I guess we will... This is something that's kind of a big, big aspect of the game. There is this concept in the game, which is called the Golden Rule. And I'm sure lots of people have heard the Golden Rule. But in this game, the Golden Rule is a much more intense piece of, like, law, where essentially, if someone were to sin or break whatever the Golden Rule is, the whole town gets turned, like all the different people will get turned into gold. So it's like the sins of one person will impact the whole city. So everyone's on edge. They don't want to break the rules and they don't want anybody else to break the rules because everyone is going to be like essentially killed. They're all going to be turned into gold if they sin, essentially, if they break the rule.
I think there's a lot of cool interplay in that of just like people who are like wholly bought into it and there's other people who are skeptical and think that, oh, this is just a made up thing that they're, you know, using to control us.
Right.
It's really interesting because it's like, okay, do I risk everyone's life to prove that this thing doesn't exist? Like,
so the first time that I realized that there was a time loop was I took something, just in a lot of these types of games, you walk into someone's like bedroom and you steal something out of their cupboard, right? And I did that and it was like, those sins of one, like the trespasses of one, the impacts of the many. And then like, everybody starts getting turned to gold and it's like, run to this area. And you get there and it like restarts the day. And I was like, oh, I see how this game is going to be run. And so you can get things, you could steal things in the game, and then run back, restart the day, and you'd still have them on your person because you exited with that thing on your person. You got out, and then you come back in, and then now you could utilize that thing that you've stolen because it's not being stolen anymore because you're starting the whole thing off with that key or that item.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised how much I enjoy a game that's just basically all dialogue. And the gameplay is crazy satisfying in that the sense of you are the one making the discoveries. Mm-hmm. You are putting the pieces together. I think the game does a really good job of helping you out when you actually have all of the clues to, like, make it a little obvious. I think some people who are, like, super into detective games might be a little bit annoyed. They might think it's a little too hand-holdy. But I think this is a great jumping-off point for people who have not really encountered the genre of, like, games that are all about just, like, you discover information.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, like, once you have all the stuff you need, new dialogue options will open up with certain characters.
Right. So you have to go back to them and, like, I've already done all the dialogue options I could do with this character, but now that I have this new item or I did this one thing, when I go back to them, it's like, there's a whole new tree that I can explore.
And you can do the same dialogue over and over again. I think it also does a good job of when stuff that you have said before comes up, is a different, it's like grayed out slightly. You can go through it again, hear the same conversations over and over and over again. When something new comes, it's a, you know, it's this bright, crisp, white color. You're like, oh, I have something new I can ask them. So a lot of times you're, you know, figuring stuff out and then you realize, okay, I need to get this thing, and then talk to this person. And then that talking to that person, you know, gives you some information. Yeah. So I know I've experienced some games where it just feels like, how would I ever have gotten that? Like, that just didn't make any sense. And I think this game does an amazing job of, A, making you feel really smart. And, like, I never once had to look up an answer to a puzzle, an answer to, I don't know what I'm supposed to do next.
Right.
I think the mission layout was very clear of, like, hey, these are your goals. Like, these are different things you can look for. And then you can, like, open up your mission list, and it gives you a hint as to, like, hey, why don't you go try talking to this person, or look for this thing in the caves, or...
Right.
You could ignore all that. I didn't look at it super often, but every once in a while, you're just like, wait, what am I doing next? I completed the quest line, I don't remember. Oh, yeah, I talked to this guy over here, and he wanted me to help him with that. I'll start that quest line right now.
Yeah. I do, in that same vein, I feel like this game makes you feel really smart when you do make those connections. And I think that this genre of game, that happens a lot. Any kind of puzzles. This is essentially a puzzle, but it's the whole game is a puzzle, essentially. It's trying to figure out the answer to the question, how do I get out? And there's lots of different ways that you can finish the puzzle. It's not just a one-size-fits-all puzzle. But I felt really smart when it's like, oh yeah, I think I know what I should do next, or how I'm going to do this thing. And there's a couple times when if you interact with certain people and you go down a certain, path in the, like, the dialogue tree, that it'll essentially bar you from getting to the thing that you need to do. Like, oh, I need to, like, swindle this person in a specific way, but I did it wrong. And so, like, I need to restart the day. So I would do some petty theft, restart the day, and then go do the dialogue in the correct order so that I can get the thing that I wanted. There's a couple times that happened. And it's an awesome use of the time loop. I guess, thinking of, like, time traveling, time loop type mediums, there's lots of different examples of that, especially movies and books. What were your thoughts on the time loop and how it was actually done in this game compared to other games or other mediums?
I feel like this one's very simple and self-contained. You're stuck in the city, and so your time loop-ness is only affecting events. Your starting point is always the same. So I don't feel like there's a whole lot. Like, you're, I feel like sometimes time loops can get, like, really complicated and just start cascading into just, like, absurdity.
The butterfly effect.
And I think this is really self-contained, has very clear rules that are explained to you pretty much up front. You know how to grasp it. And so I feel like it's just one of those things where your suspension of disbelief has got all of the points that it needs. Where you just, for me, I just accepted it as fact. Like, yeah, this is obviously how this works. Like, the rules were laid out. The rules were always upheld. It was very consistent in how it was implemented. And right. So I thought the time loop worked really, really nice.
I thought that they did a great job. And I think that one of my biggest issues with, like, time travel or time loop type things is the things like the loopholes, or like, this doesn't actually make sense if you think about it too hard. It's really fun to interact with like time traveling in movies and stuff like that, and it tells a really good story. But if you like look into it at all, there's so many holes all over the place. That's like, this doesn't logically line up, or if this would have happened, this was not how things would have actually played out. Whereas I feel like the game does a great job of being consistent, which I appreciate, just like the consistency. There was one moment where I thought I had picked out an inconsistency and realized that I was actually wrong and the game was consistent still. and it was like me spending money and then feeling like I still had that money when I restarted the day. It's like, but then I realized, oh, actually that money was gone. But for some reason I thought that I was retaining the money that I'd already spent.
For me, it was funny because money seemed really important my first, like, early times playing, until you realize, hey, once you figure out where it's, like, a stash of money is, you can just, like, take it every single time you're in a time loop, and it's, like, an infinite money generator.
Yeah.
Which then makes money, which I think is nice because there's not a ton of things you need money for. So part of it is, like, the figuring out where it even is located.
Yeah.
And so it's like, once you have that, it's like you solved the problem. Money is never an issue for you again the rest of the game.
One of the, I think, interesting things to talk about with this game is, they talk about the golden rules, like morality. And in the game, there are certain things, like, essentially all the characters are still doing evil things to each other, exploiting loopholes in the golden rule, essentially. And I guess just thinking about morality and the way that we think about things, I think is an interesting topic.
Yeah, I agree. I think the game does a really interesting and for the most part really good job of, we're a modern person interacting in these Roman times, and modern morality is not consistent throughout time. People had very different thoughts on things that were right and wrong. And I think it'd be really easy to be really preachy and that, like, hey, our modern values are so obvious in retrospect, and these people are all barbarian, evil, you know. But I think a lot of the characters you have, you know, dialogue with about morality tear down at least some of the more basic arguments if you haven't really thought through, like, why your morality is the way that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just like stuff that we easily take for granted, you know, like slavery or like, you know, equality for men and women and stuff. They like scoff at it and provide, I wouldn't necessarily say it's like a foolproof rebuttal, but it's a rebuttal that is not just a, oh, this person's obviously wrong. I can easily explain a 1+1 does in fact equal 2. See how wrong you were? It's like they have an argument steeped in culture. And I think they do a really good job of respecting ancient culture and like, hey, here's why people might have thought that way, even though most of our society would agree that they're wrong now.
Right.
My biggest frustration came in when I would, you know, want to present stuff from a more Christian worldview. And I feel like the character that you're playing as, when you try to pick one of those choices, presents it from a very, like, modern secular worldview, which I don't think has quite as strong of a leg to stand on morality-wise. And I'm like, no, that's not what I was trying to get at. And, like, a lot of times you have to agree with, oh, yeah, I don't really know what's right or wrong. I guess you're right. Things are kind of confusing.
There was one interaction that I had. There was a character who, you don't even actually figure out his name. He's like a philosopher, essentially. And he's like hiding from everybody else. And essentially, he asks the question, do you like feel like you understand morality? And like, I'm like, yes. Like my character, whatever, I was saying yes. And then he kind of doesn't let you go. That if you continue to say yes, I do believe that I understand like morality and what is good and what is bad. He essentially won't let you get out of that dialogue tree unless you say, you know what, maybe I don't know everything, which I don't think I know everything, but it was just interesting to be like, I'm just going to have a staunch belief as this character. Yes, 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 yes. And it was like, okay, I'm going to say the no version now so that
just so I can do something else in the continue. Game.
And that's an interesting thing about games as well is, do you tend to play this type of game imagining yourself there, like how you would have actually interacted, and we're trying to answer things in that way?
I would say 9% of the time, my dialogue things, I try to answer them how I would most likely respond, which in gaming isn't always the most fun way to play. I feel like a lot of times, especially in games that I replay a lot, I will, like, my first playthrough, do it like, this is what I would do, and my second playthrough, I'm like, okay, what diabolical, like, just, you know, yeah, debaucherous, like, murderous, you know, rampage can my character go on? And just experiencing the two extremes, which I think, like, the clearest example for that for me would be, like, Red Dead Redemption, or Red Dead 2, where it's, like, very easy to play, like, the moral upright cowboy, you know, with the past, like me. But then it's, like, when I go in for subsequent playthroughs, I'm just like, what if I murdered everybody in this town? Oh, let's hogtie a hooker and put her on a railroad track and see what happens when the train runs over. There's an achievement for that. I'm like, I didn't, like,
really? I've never played the second one. So.
That was the first one.
It was the first one?
Yeah. It was just
like, I never did that. That shows you who's more moral than the two of us right now.
I didn't know it was an achievement either. It wasn't like I saw it. Like, I did it. And then the achievement popped up on my Xbox. And I was like, oh, well, that's funny. I knew I was going to do that.
That is pretty funny. Just visualizing that is really funny.
I would say that this game has a little bit less freedom to do that than a game like Red Dead, which I think brings to a really interesting question that we've hinted at in previous episodes of, like, how important is replayability to you in video gaming?
I feel like my soul wants to say it's very important. Like, this, everything that, like, my favorite games, when I think back on the most enjoyable games, it's going to be, or it has been, games that are replayable, or games that there's some element of, like, playing with other people. And so for single player games, though, it's like, oh, I want to be able to replay. That's where, like, I have my brain to start. And then when you start, like, pulling that out and, like, actually asking the question of why is it important to be able to replay it, it's a great question, because I don't necessarily replay all the games that I feel like are potentially replayable. It's not necessarily a thing that I'm going to do that often. Like, how replayable is a game like Celeste? It's like, kind of, you've done it, you've succeeded, you successfully climbed the mountain. Maybe you will go back and play it, but I think the vast majority of people aren't going to go back and replay it, even though it is a game that people might call more replayable than this game. But that brings in, I've not really played any the detective, like, knowledge-based games before this one. So that's a whole nother, like,
that's semi-true. Can of worms. I would actually say that Tunic is very knowledge-based, in the sense that you're discovering all of these different game manual pieces throughout the land that kind of tell you different mechanics of the game that you didn't realize were always part of the game. Whereas if you were to play it a second time, you're like, oh yeah, I know how to do this, I know how to do this. I can do it right away prior to actually finding the manual part that teaches you how to do it.
See, and that might be something that I never finished Tunic, so I haven't, like, come to that conclusion of, like, oh yeah, I can just do these things without having pages.
Yeah. But for me, my thought process was very similar to yours. I think, especially when you're younger, you just feel like you have unlimited time. And, like, I feel like so many people are chasing after, like, the ultimate game to end all games that they can just play forever. And I think most people, like, think that's what they want. I don't think most people want that. I think most people like variety in gaming, like having different experiences. And, like, for me as a husband and as a dad, having, like, games that are just, like, packaged in this nice little bow of, like, hey, here is a 10, 12, 20-hour experience that you can just play, then you're done. Like, is way more appealing, you know, people who have, like, huge gaming backlogs. It's just, like, ridiculous, you know, they want to play 40, you know, 100-hour RPGs. It's just, like, you're not, you can play two. You have the time for two.
Right.
And so to have some other games intermixed in there that just aren't this smaller package thing that you played it and you're like, wow, that was a really good experience. I had an amazing time, but I don't need to play it again. Like, I have no desire to go back and play this game, but I had an amazing time going through it.
Yeah. as you were talking, the question that popped into my mind is, like, I don't even know if I know the answer to this for you or myself, really. I could give you an answer. What would you say is, like, your favorite game of all time? And maybe that's a horrible question to ask in this podcast, but, like, do you have a game or two that, like, pop into your head?
I know we've had this discussion many times on, like, favorite movies and how it's such a loaded question because it's, like, favorite movie for what? Like, you think the movie that is the most well done or well shot or the movie that you watch the most times? And so I feel like that goes back to this, like...
Mm-hmm. So, like, Nacho Libre isn't the greatest movie ever created, but it is the most fun movie to watch.
For sure. It's, you know, we have so much fun. I probably watched Nacho Libre more than almost any other movie just because we have such a fun time with it. And so that question I struggle with gaming-wise, because it's like, okay, what... Did a game make me feel something, you know, at the time? I feel like a lot of games you played at the right point in your life to have an impact.
This is a very, very filibuster answer to my question. I just want to point that out.
Yes.
But continue.
I'm just thinking, like, one of the games that in the past I would have said, you know, is up there with favorite games would have been Horizon Zero Dawn.
Okay.
But I still really enjoy the game, but I also recognize a lot more of its flaws now that I'm more removed from it. And I think a lot of the flaws are very common in a lot of open world games. I know for a lot of people's favorite games would be like Breath of the Wild. You know, Tears of the Kingdom just dropped. I know a ton of people are super excited playing that game right now. And I think a lot of those games are also even the exploration and just the feel that the game gives you. So the super long story short, I do have a favorite game. And I think it goes back to the game that made me feel the most, that just hooked me right. And that game, I think, is probably, I'm really torn. I think it's Outer Wilds is up there for me. It's potentially being my favorite game of all time. And it's a game that we have planned to be on the queue next season.
Season, yeah.
And to be, Outer Wilds is a very knowledge-based game that I'm interested in playing it a second time just to see if, like, hey, can you? I mean, physically you can. But will I hit some of those similar feelings? Or is that one of those, like...
Are you going to have your golf story moment?
I don't think it's possible for me to undo the amazing time I had for the first time I had the
game.
The same thing with this. I could play this game again, and I don't think it would be as good just because I know the answer to a lot of the questions.
Or, like, where you need to go next, or, like, you already know the layout of the town. So, like, instead of you learning the layout of the city as you're trying to figure out, and, oh, where does this person even live? I don't even know.
Yeah. And I think the draw of this game are those moments where you just feel so smart. You go from ignorance to full knowledge, and those moments are so euphoric that I'm a little worried that upon replay, you already know the answer.
Right. And I can see that because I have no desire to really play The Forgotten City again. Something that we haven't shared is there are a couple different endings in the game, and the game is very blatant once you find one of the endings that there are other endings that you could get. And one of the things for me, like when I first found, like when I first ended, when I escaped the city, my desire was I want to keep playing because I want to see what the other endings have to offer. And it was an ending that was a more smaller portion of the game. There's more to potentially do that. You could have a better ending.
I feel like there's the true good ending that you're aiming for. And so, but you're like, okay, I'll tinker with these other endings. For me, my problem is I got what I think is probably the true ending as the set. There's four endings to the game.
Right.
And I got the true ending. It's the second time I got the ending, and I didn't feel compelled
to go back and
find the lesser endings.
That's exactly why, because I got the second ending, then the first ending, and then the fourth ending, and I never got the third ending. So I don't even actually know what the third ending is. But that's okay. I got the best ending, which is really what I was, that was like the conclusion of the game.
Yes.
Was getting the best ending.
I'm interested I really think this game does a really good job of, like, developing characters. Did you feel really connected to the characters, or were there just kind of, like, plot points to move on? Because I felt like, you know, it's been a while since I played the game. You just finished it, so you're way more, like,
yeah,
familiar with all the characters' names. They're all Roman names, and so it's just...
Yeah.
For me, they're not, like, super...
Some blah, blah, yes.
But I remember, like, actually, like, feeling connected to a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like, the dialogue, I think, was really well. The voice acting is a...
I think they did a great job with the voice acting. I never felt like, wow, this is super lame, or, like, the way that it's delivered is, like, taking you out of the experience. I felt like everybody who they had doing the voice acting did a good job, and the actual dialogue wasn't, like, super cheesy or weird.
Which is impressive for a game that has so much morality at the core of it. Because I feel like it could get really preachy and just really bogged down in it. I think they did a really good job of honing in the dialogue to be, like, realistic-ish conversations you're having with people. Where you're, like, getting a sense of who they are and, like, people actually talk like this.
Right.
Or you assume people from the first century would talk like this. To the point where, like, I felt like, well, these are my friends, yeah, a little bit.
I guess I felt connections to a couple of them just because they're more likable. Some of the characters I interacted with, like, very minimally.
Yeah. That's to be expected, though.
But it's interesting because one of the characters that I feel most for is a character you don't meet until very late in the game. But because of the circumstances that you interact with them, it's like, I'm like, oh, like, this is pretty, like, it's intense. And I'm like, I care about this character a lot. And I'm not going to say what the character is.
Yeah.
But did you have anybody that sticks out in your head right now?
Yeah, I think the very first character you interact with, yeah, you just see him so much throughout the game, and he plays such a pivotal role. I think it's also super interesting because every run, you start with meeting him. You remember his name?
Galerius.
Galerius. To the point where, like, when you solve other people's side missions, you'll go talk to him, and you'll be like, hey, go do this thing. And so it's like, you don't have to do that thing anymore because it's the start of the day.
Which I think is great. I love that they have that there. Where it's just like, it's a new day. I need to go do that thing again. Oh, Galerius will go do it for me. Sweet.
So I think that's really, just because of that, I feel like you have an extra connection because it's like you feel like he's the one actually helping the people.
Yeah.
Even though you tell him what to do.
So I think that's a good spot to end for talking about the game. Are you ready to jump into rankings?
I am.
So, as I was looking at our list, the first area that I would like to kind of talk a little bit about is comparing A Short Hike to The Forgotten City. Just because I guess A Short Hike kind of is like you figure out the game and you know where things are at. But it's not nearly as knowledge-based as The Forgotten City is. But it is like that shorter, smaller period of investment. Whereas A Short Hike is much shorter than The Forgotten City, but I think that they have similar spots in my brain. What are your thoughts on the two of them?
Oh, gosh. I think that for me, they both provide this feeling that is beyond just the game itself.
Right.
Where it puts you in the sense of just like experiencing life, thinking about your past, thinking about your beliefs and like what you find important in life,
what is valuable. Yeah.
And so in that regard, they really strike a similar chord. You're right. For me, I feel like A Short Hike I connect to more on like a younger childlike feeling, uh-huh, of just like this sense of wonder, exploration, love for nature, just, you know, the world is so amazing and exciting to explore, people are good type of, and I feel like
Forgotten City
is a lot more of like an adult contemplative of like, okay, figure out how the world works, people are complex and make bad decisions, yeah. You actually need to solve your problems. People aren't going to solve them for you. But you have all this amazing, like, knowledge moments of just like, oh, I figured it out. I can do it. And I feel like, you know, so that they kind of hit different areas of like, if you're feeling, you know, overwhelmed with, you know, work or
don't play Forgotten City. Play Short Hike. It's not like it's bad to play the Forgotten City.
Yeah, but I just feel like you might feel more whimsical. Short Hike is way more whimsical than...
Yes.
But I kind of like, you're very into like Greek mythology and, you know, Roman mythology to a lesser extent, but I mean, they're connected.
It's just the changing names, which was always weird for me when they were saying the Roman names. And there are a couple of Greek characters in the game who like, oh yeah, they just stole our gods and changed the names. And it's kind of funny.
Yeah, I just, which to me, having played Hades prior to this, I think made it so I connected with the gods they're talking to a lot more because I have like the Hades representation of that god in
Persephone.
Mind.
Like, they're talking about her. That's like the shrine that you come out of the very beginning. It's yeah. The shrine to her.
And so I just think that was kind of a unique twist. Do you have a preference between the two? Like, what are your thoughts between the two?
I think in my head, they are very similar. Like, I could see arguments for either direction. My gut reaction is probably I'd like a Short Hike's, like, the way I felt playing a Short Hike more. But I feel like the Forgotten City has a lot more complexity to, like, the cool aspects of it. And they're also very different in terms of, like, Short Hike is, like, this cute little, like, animated style, whereas the Forgotten City is going much more for that gritty, more lifelike kind of... I mean, it's not perfectly lifelike and stuff. It looks like Skyrim, because it's a mod off of Skyrim. But I think I might give a slight edge to a Short Hike. Where is your brain?
I think a Short Hike, I mentioned, is just like one of the most delightful games I'd played. But I think the knowledge-based gameplay for me is so refreshing and hits different dopamine levels for me that I feel so much more accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I achieve something more when I like learn something new of how to do something than in the more like just collectathon style.
That's fair, yeah.
So I personally think I would give the slight edge to Forgotten City.
And as you're saying that, like I totally understand that too. When I was playing, I played a Short Hike in like
a sitting.
And so it was like, that was fun. But the Forgotten City, the first time I sat down, I was not nearly as drawn at the beginning. But as time progressed, I was like, oh, yes.
Payoff is a lot higher.
Yeah, and it's because you have so much more. I think because you have so much more in the game to do and so much more for you to, like, experience, I can see that taking it over the edge over the Short Hike.
I want to give the edge to Forgotten City. Okay. What was a Short Hike ranked at?
A Short Hike has been our number 9. So right above a Short Hike, number 8 is Slay the Spire. So Slay the Spire versus the Forgotten City.
Oh, gosh.
Right above Slay the Spire is Dead Cells. And then right above Dead Cells is Solemn Sanctuary. So that's kind of the spot we're in right now.
I feel like we're right in the correct range for where this game is going to actually land.
Do you want to jump ahead to Dead Cells versus Forgotten City for just a second?
Sure, like, let's do it.
Again, I feel like Dead Cells just kind of comes up a lot. It's like it's in that mid-high range of a game. And Dead Cells, very replayable. Forgotten City, not so much on the replayability. Dead Cells is not knowledge-based at all. Forgotten City is like completely knowledge-based. They really have no dialogue.
Dead Cells is extremely skill-based game where if you don't actually are good at it, you're never going to complete it. Where Forgotten City is knowledge-based, and so if you're not able to reason things through, it's going to have trouble progressing. But
then it's like, what's the value, or how well are those two separate things executed? So where do you feel like it needs to go, above or below?
I'm scared that I'm going to hit recency bias, but I'm actually feeling Forgotten City above Dead Cells.
I feel like I've played the Forgotten, like I finished the Forgotten City today, got all the endings the final ending today. So that's way more recent. And Dead Cells, it's the replayability thing. What's more important? And I think I still probably am sitting in that replayability is important. And do I need to ditch that? Is that something that I need to get rid of?
I think it is important. I just don't think it trumps every case. Just because the game isn't replayable does not mean that it is a lesser game. I think that the experience of Lost City is really top notch. The writing's really good. Just the way it makes you feel, the thought provocation, the questions it makes you ask, just the way it makes you retrospective on just like your thoughts and your beliefs, while telling a really compelling story. I feel like it hits a lot of markers for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I also feel like Dead Cells, while is a great game, is not a game for everybody.
That's fair.
I think a lot of people who like enjoy video games would find the skill ceiling way too high, to the point where Dead Cells is not replayable. Because it's like, for you, you found a lot of replayability because you wanted to beat the game on harder and harder difficulty levels. I know for me, that's not a huge draw. Like, mm-hmm. I pretty much felt like I saw everything I needed to see with Dead Cells. And I think that the game is very fun. And I think it deserves its ranking. But I don't know that it is truly as replayable for as many people as it is in your head.
I think that's probably fair. And I think that's a good enough argument to put it above Dead Cells for me. So that puts it up against Salt and Sanctuary. And this is the last comparison that we're going to make, because I'm going to stand firm that Stardew Valley is above the Forgotten City.
I am fine with that.
But Salt and Sanctuary and Forgotten City, they're both more that grittier. Salt and Sanctuary is much more on the action side. But it is more that gritty type feel of a game.
I feel like this one comes down to a lot of, like, what do you value more? Are you in games for the straight gameplay and, like, a gameplay focus? Or are you in for the story and the feeling? Because I feel like Salt and Sanctuary has a story, but you really have to dig for it. And it does not come easily, and it's kind of obtuse and shrouded. It's the gameplay loop. And just the sense of, like, overcoming challenges that are just sometimes seem insurmountable, and then you are able to break through. Where I feel like Forgotten City is much more of a clear, like, if you beat the game, you experience the story. And everyone's, like, got to, you know, have that experience. You all got to have that sense of highs. I think it's a lot more easy to introduce to people. I feel like a lot less people are going to have that steep just drop off. Nope, not for me. Experience with the gameplay. I think you might be surprised by this. I'm actually leaning towards Forgotten City above Salt and Sanctuary.
Well, based on the things you said, I was kind of gathering that. But yeah, part of me kind of wants Forgotten City to break up Salt and Sanctuary and Dead Cells. They've been married for so long, right next to each other on the queue. And they're both like run around with a weapon kind of games. But that's not really that important. It's just something that I was thinking of. But I think that your argument for why Forgotten City should be above Dead Cells makes sense for it to also carry it above Salt and Sanctuary. Like, the same logic is applied. And I think the biggest thing for me about Forgotten City, and I made this argument against Salt and Sanctuary as well, is I don't really love the way it looks as a modern game. Because it's that, I don't know when Skyrim came out, I probably should know that. But it's still that, like, older, and also I was playing on low resolution, so that doesn't help the case at all. But it's not like the Forgotten City is like, oh, this beautiful game. It's like, it's passable, and you can still engage with the characters, but you're never wowed by any of the way that the Forgotten City looks.
I actually think that holds true for the people. But I actually think, like, a lot of the vistas and a lot of the building and the architecture
is very
really crafted. Really crafted well, and carries through the sense of, like, it's a lesser version because it's on a screen, but, like, I'm just like, my love for, like, old architecture and
I stuff. Think that's true. That's fair. Much more so than something like Salt and Sanctuary that's 2D. But even with that argument against it, I feel like it does kind of make sense for it to go right above Salt and Sanctuary.
I think that's where it goes in the queue.
That's kind of wild that it moved that far up. That would be number 6 on the cube. Stardew Valley is number 5, and I already said, yeah, we'll stop there. Grace will have a fit if she found out, so she actually wouldn't have a fit. But I think we put it right below it. Forgotten City, the new number 6 on the cube.